welcome to Oral Phonic, a podcast about Podfit. I am your host, Patika, and I have with me the beautiful...
Yue Neff.
Thank you for being on with me.
Thank you for having me.
Our topic this month is cover art, and you are an awesome cover artist. You're the one that did our, like, the cover art that we have for our podcast. And I know that you have left great comments for me on my cover art that is generally not awesome. So I am glad that you could be here there with us.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to go straight into news. And would you like to do the first?
Sure. Yeah, so in news, which is not so news, we have Podfication coming closer and closer to us. In case you haven't heard, Podfication is a Podfic convention, pretty friendly, held October 22nd and October 23rd, 2016, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So there's going to be a bunch of us Podfic lovers there, mostly Podfic and some stray cats like me, gonna gather and hopefully talk about Podfics and probably record a really cracky Podfic while we're there.
It's going to be so amazing. I'm so excited.
It's going to be great.
And the other piece of news that we have is the Clint Coulson Holiday Exchange is running again this year. Signups open on the 14th of September, so that should be yesterday. And they once again are accepting Podfic. I have done Podfic with them in the past. It's a joy. Like, they're a great comm, and they're really Podfic friendly. So if you're into Clint Coulson, I suggest you sign up.
Great.
We didn't have any talkbacks this month, so we're going to dive right into our topic.
Cover art.
There's so much to say about it. It's one of those things that makes Podfickers so multi-talented, because we have to figure out, like, all the technical aspect and be good voice actors and have to make cover art. Although not all of us do, and it's not a requirement, but I'm always so surprised by how awesome people's cover art is.
We really are. I don't think people realize how amazing they are at being this multi-talented and just doing so many fan works crammed into one package that people can download and not review. It's just so much work, people, you put in. You're beautiful, all of you.
It can be so important. Like, a number of people out there that, like, won't download a Podfic if it doesn't have cover art, just because the cover art resonates with them so much. And they use that to organize their library or to remember what a Podfic is about. There can be a lot that goes into it.
But it is. It's a book cover, because it's an audio book cover. And we do judge books by their cover at the same time that we don't.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting relationship that people have with these visuals. It's funny also, because on one hand, we do download Podfics so that we do not have to follow the text most often. Mm-hmm. And then we still use this very visual clue to organize it, you know?
One of the things that I had wanted to talk about was, like, a little bit of the history behind cover art. Because when I think of, like, some of my early days in Podfic fandom, like, 10 years ago, generally the bare minimum information was given. Like, a lot of Podfickers didn't even post, like, the summary of the story. It was just, like, fic title, fic author, Podficker, this is the length, maybe you got a pairing or something. Kind of the information that you see on the audio fic archive. The reason why they used that minimal amount of information was because often that was the minimum information that people were giving. And slowly we started adding, like, summaries in. Seibel was such an early advocate of cover art. There is a while there where I think it's easy to say that something like 90% of all Podfic cover art was made by Seibel. She was the person that really pushed Podbooks as a regular audiobook format, because she wanted all of her Podfics in that format. So she just started offering to do it for other people. And, like, of course you need a cover art for it. So she learned how to make cover art to do this. She's done, like, thousands of them. It's amazing. And she's not as active anymore. Mm-hmm. In the early days, like she was a lot of it. And Bessie Boo was kind of the next person I remember stepping up. I know my first Podfics don't have cover art. It was actually Seibel made a meta post on Amplificathon. explaining, like, how cover art was so important. After I read that, I'm like, damn, I'm gonna have to learn how to make cover art now. Now, not every podfic has cover art, but most of them seem to. We've come a long way, and a lot of people rely on that cover art.
A lot of them do, I think. Or maybe also it depends where we're downloading from. Since Tumblr took off a lot and AO3, and both have pretty solid visual. Well, mostly Tumblr. Tumblr has a very easy way to insert graphics. Whereas AO3, you have to host it, which is sometimes a bit annoying. And LiveJournal, you used to be able to just upload it. So, very different approach. But yeah, like hosting is a different, like, is it easy? Can it be done? Like, how does it display? That will also influence whether or not people even want to add cover art.
I know, like, one of the things that I did a lot in the early days, and to be honest, I don't know how much better I am about it these days. I'm definitely better. I just don't know if I've stopped doing it completely. But I would just like take a picture and be like, here's my cover art. And it was rarely square. It was generally like a rectangular picture.
Oh no! Well, also, I think that would probably be helpful if more podfic challenges had a cover art part. Like, I mean, a lot of them do, but really the big ones, like anything that Eos Rose hosts, pretty much has one because she's very graphic oriented and she's really aware of that. Also, with because of the beautiful layouts she makes. I think, like, you know, it's not a focus in smaller places. You know, multi-fan work challenges, they do not make the podfaker do cover art by force, I think. Whereas they do that for fan mixers. Most fest force fan mixers to have a cover and usually even like several graphics. Whereas I don't think that they did that for cover, like for podfic, which thank God, because that's stupid rule. And I say that as someone who really loves graphics, okay? Like that was just stupid. And demeaning to the audio fan work. And I love cover art, but it's not the same thing. This podcast is going to be all about like how cover art is awesome, but you do not need it. It does not validate or invalidate anything, any other work you've put into the podfic. Well, I think it is a completely different fan work that you add on.
It is.
I personally think that's like there's a very different type of effort, very different type of talent, and if you think about them more separately, you can have more fun.
These days, I'm doing a lot more long podfic, so it definitely seems worth the effort to do the cover art. But like in my earlier days, I did a lot of shorter podfics, and I can spend hours on a single podfic cover because I'm not super talented when it comes to that. I've just learned through force. If I spent like 2 hours making a 10-minute podfic and then spend like 3 hours making the cover art, that stops making it feel worth it to do the shorter podfics for me personally. Everyone else is going to be different.
Yeah, that's fair.
And sometimes I also feel like if I felt less obliged to make cover art, then maybe there would be other people that would be like, I liked your thing, here's a cover art for it. That would be way better than what I make myself, because I don't consider myself an artist for the cover art that I do. It's very obligatory for me.
I would love to argue with you on this for hours and hours, though.
I've made some that I'm proud of, but I friggin' can't deal with fonts.
If you do not want to make your own cover art, there are alternatives. Or at least, maybe we should work on making, like, as a community, work on making it easier to have alternatives. In Wheel of Podfic, there was a challenge about challenging oneself, and I overdid it, as usual. And I challenged myself to do 15 types of commenting on podfics, like on different media. And several of them involve graphics and cover art. And I discovered by that there's a podfic cover art welcome tag on AO3. And there was only two people who used it. So I gave both of them cover art. Because we could, you know? And then I talked about it and people were like, there's such a tag and we can use it. And I'm like, yeah. So I think I would like to invite everyone to use this tag if they don't want to make their own cover art. And for other people who do feel like making cover art, to just troll this tag or maybe check it from time to time and just make cover art and share it with people. I think it would be lovely. Even if they already have one, just share yours. Like, the more the merrier. That's fine. Post it as a work of its own. That's fine too. And just like make it a fan work of a fan work of a fan work of a fan work.
Yeah, actually, the one that I did that Growlery made for me, she went and posted it as a fan work, and we had mutual inspired buys.
That's good.
And like a way for people to leave comment for the cover artist specifically.
Exactly. And feedback and to like add their own, and then you can just make a big like loving Podfic fan works tree. That would be nice. So, and also like don't hesitate to ask on Twitter and Tumblr. Use the Podfic tags. There's a lot of people who check those. There's a lot of people who are ready to retweet you, and you will find somebody who makes you cover art. If you have specification, give them. If you want to make cover art and need help, also use these tags, and people will find you. I guess that my personal history with cover art is basically that it always came with Podfic for me because I come from a very artistic point of view, as we can say. Since I don't really record Podfic, I just listen to it and draw for it most of the time. Podfic and art was always intertwined for me. I think like it did grow a lot with years, but people are still reluctant to call themselves artists about it, and that gives me feelings as an artist because I think a lot of it is linked with feelings of inadequacy or they don't like the covers that much. But let me tell you guys, as a fan artist, if you waited to like the piece you've just made to call yourself an artist, you will never be one.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, go ahead. And I mean, you don't have to call yourself an artist, but just treat yourself like you are. Treat yourself like a friend, and if your friend just made a cover art and it was pretty good, you know, not the best, but it's fine, it's cute, it works, they're an artist, you would not put them down, so don't put yourself down. Just own your art, it's cute, it's beautiful. Anyway, so that is my point of view. Also, I have a point of view, like, since I come of it from, I guess, the graphics type too, and I really love to make, when I say I do art, I like to do traditional and digital type of art, so like handheld and computer types. And I do view, since from the start, I really viewed Podfic as its own fan work. I also view cover art as its own fan work. And at the beginning, especially since if you can go back to the history of Podfic, I know that a lot of people said that Podfic cover art was basically the fic cover, because back then you had a lot of banners at the top of fics. You know, like
Yeah.
graphic banners, which kind of died down now.
I know some of my early like American Idol covers where there was like one artist whose name I'm gonna get wrong if I try and say it, and I'm really sorry. Who was she actually gave blanket permission for people to use her art as Podfic cover arts, but she would like her thing in fandom was going around and making covers for fanfic, and then I went and Podficked some of them and used their art as the cover art, which was such a relief for me because, like I said, my relationship with making cover art has been a bit of a struggle.
But that's perfect, you know? And see, like, I think this is the kind of attitude we should have too. Like, these graphics maker, people could do that. They could go around and say, "Hey, fic writer, I just made a cover for you. Use it if you want. Use it if you like. Don't use it if you don't. That's fine. Just I'm gonna drop it here in the comments and have fun." And sometimes people used it, and some people don't. And like, maybe we should start doing that with Podfix too.
One of the things that you said that, like, talking about how Podfic is really such a grouping of different fan arts. You've got the author that wrote it, the Podficker that Podficked it, and then the cover artist that made art for it. It kind of makes me think a little bit of the throwbacks to, like, you know, classic zine fandom. They used to have a lot of art with that too, and then there's the work of the people packaging it and just, or the choosing which stories goes into their design. It can feel a little bit like that with Podfic too, like you're getting that complete product all in one.
Yeah, it is a big package deal that we don't really realize or applaud enough, I guess. Because in Zine, like, it is not expected that the person who wrote the story will also have done the art. But in Podfic, it kind of is. And I'm like,
Yeah.
that's kind of unfair, guys. You already did so much work. Not only did you performed it, you recorded it, and then you also have to be like mad graphic skills. What? Like, who has these skills? No one. But you have all of these. It is just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I can segue into like what I like about cover art is that it can be. There's a lot of types of cover art that can be done. There's obviously types Like, is it small? Is it big? Is it text only? Is there pictures involved? Are the pictures like stock photos? Are there textures only? Are they hand-drawn? Are they a fan art that you took and cropped? Or are they like made for that size? Did you draw with words? What did you do with your cover? Is it a GIF? Is it animated? Like, you can do a lot of different types of things for very, very different feelings. And I've seen a lot of creativity within the fandom, and there's still a lot of it to come because people are fantastic at finding new, delightful things to do. I've seen collage, music, like so many types of fan works can just be transformed and cropped and put into what is technically a very specific canva. You know, it has to be square. It should probably, I guess, most players use square. We more or less try to post in what, 600 per 600 or less. Nothing really above, I don't know how many bytes, but you don't want it to be too heavy because you don't want the Putfic file to be heavier for that. So like there are very narrow restrictions, and yet people can do so much with it.
Like, one thing I remember someone talking about, and I don't remember if they actually followed through with it, is they were talking about using the M4B format and the way that you can put cover art for different chapters to do sort of like a picture book with their podfic. You know, as the scenes changed or whatever, they had different cover art for those parts. And that's something that's really cool that I could see being a cool exploration into mixing cover art with, you know, the different that specific format.
Yeah, I've seen several Putfic do that, like rotate cover art, and that's cool. I know that someone who did it and blew my mind at first was Lunchy, with the giraffe notes, which I probably read before. But like the story revolves around a series of drawings, like little doodles that one character drew for the other character. And as the story progresses, like the fic writer had done the doodles and included them within the story, and Lunchy used them as covers and included them as like chapter separators. But so that when you listened and a drawing paper popped up, she read a description, like an audio caption, but also the cover would be there on your phone.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's basically maybe the same as turning pages that you could just go through and flip through. And I know several people sometimes, there's one Star Trek fic that had 12 different covers. Because it was 12 different chapters, and each cover represents an evolution of the story that went along. Somebody right now is doing a really long series, and for each chapter, they basically use the same picture, but they change the colors as it went, so that it was just like the mood just shifts a little bit, but it's still very significant, and it still represents something, and it's still very, very useful visual clue, or in my visual opinion. And you can play along with that easily enough, I think. To interesting effect.
Yeah, like I think there's still a lot of places we could go with this. I know that there's some podfickers on YouTube, and I could maybe see that being a place that you could do even
Exactly.
more interesting stuff. Do we want to start talking a little about the specifics of the art itself?
Ink Junket asked, I'm curious what your ideal cover art includes or doesn't have. What metadata, etc. And I would like to ask you, what do you think cover art should probably have, like contain?
I mean, I'm pretty basic with my cover art. I have the fic title, the author, and my name. And because I'm the one that created it, I don't add separately who made the cover art because my name's already on it. And then I'll have like whatever kind of picture I've chosen to convey what the story is. I will generally use pictures of people, like the people that are in the story. But that's not something I think other people need to do. It's just how I tend to think of cover art. So, yeah, I generally just have like those three basic pieces of information. And generally, the art that I choose conveys at least a sense of fandom, if not pairing.
Okay, that's fair. So like you try to include this information within the graphic choice, basically.
Yeah, like I said, I generally stick with people because that's how I relate to a story, even though I recognize that sometimes taking a picture of that object conveys which story it is. When I think of like, what does this story make me think of? It's generally the people, and that ends up on my cover art. So you'll generally be able to tell, like, okay, this is an Avengers podfic, and it has Steve and Tony in it, or at least it has Steve, or, this is an American Idol one, if you recognize who the characters are. So that's generally what I have.
Is that what your ideal cover would be? That's what you do, but is that what you want an ideal cover to have? Like, do you want an ideally, do you want all covers to represent?
I'm actually a bad person to ask this of, simply because as I'm not as visually driven and I don't actually look at cover art that often. I like look at it when I download it, but like the view that I keep my library on, it's like a listing that doesn't show the cover art, and I often listen on a computer instead of on my device, or when I do have my device, it's in my pocket. So I don't actually often use cover art that much, so I don't have as many strong opinions on it.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not gonna kill you for this. What would my ideal cover art include? I think it will also include that's the title, the name of the potficker. I do not care about the name of the author on the cover art. Like, I actually don't need it, don't want it, but it's fine. It's fine if it's there. And I would love a visual clue, anyhow you do it, about what would be like major tags on this. Is it angsty? Is it happy? Is it her comforty? Is it like what? If there's a clue about the fandom, that's a very good bonus. But like, I would mostly like a clue about the mood because I like it drives my mood and it helps my moods. Like, that's also like one of the reasons I love potfics about that. So I guess maybe what you like about covers also depends what you like about potfics and what you're looking for in them.
What people look for in a cover art can be very individualistic to how they use cover art in their own searching for potfic. Like I said, sometimes having that picture of like the shoe or like wind chimes or something, like, oh yeah, that's that one, because not many places will have pictures of random objects.
Yeah, I think I come from a point that I do browse by cover art a lot because I do not like to read words. Words are my enemy. So I look at cover, and if I can, like, if they're individual enough that I can recognize a potfic through the tiny thumbnail of the cover art, then you're golden. So maybe that's also why I look at like mood and tie and style and things, but also because of my background in like graphic skills and everything. I know this is possible, so I kinda I don't expect people to do it, but I know that people can do this. If you do not notice colors in general, like because it's just not a big factor for you, it's totally logical that you would not expect it or like, you know, have it in higher standard than anything else.
Yeah, and I don't know how much I look at my cover art in the thumbnail size. Often when I am looking at it, I am looking at it on my screen at the, like the 400 by 400 pixel level. So I don't know how well it goes in a thumbnail.
I could tell you. I could totally tell you. Yeah, so I think that's useful information. But I do not think there's a particular way to go around having this information. I would like to have a mood indicator, but if the mood indicator is the color red, or if it's because the picture you choose is someone frowning, or it's because the font you use is a very spiky, danger, pow, pow, like font, that is fine. Like, all of these will cover my need for information. There's a lot of diversity to be had in there and fun if you let it and if you have time for it or if you want other people to make it. All the information doesn't have to be separate, you can just merge it. You don't have to have a picture and the color and the font and the tags and the names and everything in there. Just like you can move it around. But that is more technical. I do not know how technical you want me to get into this podcast.
Well, we're certainly not going to get the technical aspect from me. It might be good to have like a basic conversation about some of that, because I think that's a question sometimes people have. Like I said, I went around making like rectangular cover art for a long time until finally I read somewhere where it's like it should be square, and 400 by 400 is a good size for that. So that's now what I use as my general like starting point. I'll make like a blank 400 by 400 pixel square and start layering pictures on top of it. So that was useful to me. It might be useful to other people too. And like when we were talking earlier, you're like, oh, you don't want it to be too big to make the size of the podfic larger. And I'm like, I've never even once thought about how large the picture file is.
Okay, well, if you stay within 400, 400, or 600, so then you're fine. I've seen some people, I think they didn't know that their file they posted was really, really big because probably they used the software where they were like zoomed out and didn't notice. So the file, like the picture file itself, was like 2 meg. That's a big, big, guys, just so you know. It won't load as quick, it'd be a pain in iTunes. Try smaller, I would say, in my non-professional opinion. But like 600 by 600 is very good. 400 by 400 is very good. Smaller than that, you lose space for information. I know it's weird because I know you don't have to, but I would suggest thinking that your cover art, it's a very particular type of fan work in itself because it has to look good, or ultimately you want it to look good full size, which is not that big full size, and also in very, very tiny size. None, no other fan works do that, by the way, just so you know. Like, we don't really aim for it, for any other fan work to look really good in big and small. That's just it. Nah. Some fan vids will aim to have like good in full format and in preview, but usually you're one of your own there. You don't want the full size to be too small, or you won't have any difference between the two, which can also be your point if you want to have a cover art that is the size of an icon. That's fine. I would just say, like, if just to skip over a lot of technical things, some very easy way to find tutorials for your graphic skills making is to look into any fan work that is very popular that looks like it. So if you want tips on how to make your like cover look good even when it's tiny, look at any icon tutorial. There are a lot of them. A lot of them are on LiveJournal, a lot of them are on Tumblr. But just in general, on the internet, icon making tutorial, type Google that, and you will have tons of very, very good tutorials about how to pack information into a tiny space and how to do that using a wide variety of pre-editing software. One of the things you might want to consider is what type of font you use, because some font can be changed in size really easily and still look good, and a lot of them will look like crap. Like, let's be real, but icon makers have been dealing with this shit for years, like for a decade. So they know which font is really good resized, like in tiny size that you can still read. If you're going for something handwritten, it will disappear. If it's too thin, it will disappear. If it's too thick, it will also disappear. It will just mush together. So it's a very particular type of font. But you don't have to aim for that. If you just want it to look good when it's full blown, that's fine too. But keep in mind, if it's still really thin and full blown on a screen, I mean, like on AO3 page, it will look good. But as soon as it's a little bit reduced or just a little bit cropped and resized, it will disappear. Like, it will be too thin to, like, it will merge with the surrounding colors.
Pretty much all of my fonts on my covers are bold.
Yeah, a lot of people just bold them. If you want to try it, just make your cover and then zoom in and out a lot. Flip it around. Like, yeah, like if you have a turn 90 degree, flip it around just to look like if it still holds good. If it looks like really too weird, then you may be still doing something wrong. You don't have to know what, just play around until it looks good. But zoom in and out, then you will know exactly what it looks like, you know? I think maybe you don't want it to be finished and at the end say, oh, wait, it doesn't look at all like what I wanted. Also, it will help you know if you get a feelings across. If having a feeling across a particular type of mood across is something you care about, you don't have to, but if it is something you care about, if you make your preview, like your zoom out, and make it tiny, and if you can still tell what you are going for, then you're golden. I was gonna say about fonts, I would say right now, Dafont is your friend. Dafont.com, Dafont. It's a huge library of free and safe to download fonts for both Mac and Windows. You can just click around. They're organized by types and by categories. Like, you have fancy, cartoon, graphic pencils, pharynx, techno, gothic, basics, calligraphy. All of these are categories you can click with previews. Like, the titles are the previews, so you can know what it looks like. Find any of them and download them. And it's really easy to install. You have to close your editing software install the font, open your editing software, and then it will be up. Some computer require reboot, some don't. It's going to add so much personality and information into your title. If you can have the same title, and let's be real, have the fake title, and a lot of fake titles sometimes are very simple, like one word things, and others are like three sentence long, you know, they look like Panic at the Disco titles. And I would say that for the really long ones and for the really short ones, font is the most important, because in the really long titles, your title will probably take up most of the space you have. So if you also want to convey information about if this is a khaki or serious or horror or what, you might want to go to a font to do that. So if you take a really fancy, cute, hearts on the eyes type of font, we will know this is a fluffy, sap, cutesy story. And if you go for like dripping, angry, like with sharp angles and exclamation points around type of font, then we will know it's more action or horror or that type of thing. Only with that, you don't even need like colors, anything, only with black font on a white background. But if you have the right font, it will look fantastic. And for really short ones, I will also say, like I also said, that maybe it will be important, because then you will want your one word to stand out. And also because then if you have several podfic with the same title, you will probably be able to distinguish them by the font, because it will give a really moody, like a very specific mood to your cover. And last, why fonts are important is because if we cannot read the title because you have too much going on your cover, then I think maybe something is wrong. Maybe not. Maybe you only wanted to have a picture and nothing else. But if like having the title was one of the things you wanted people to have as information, but in the end, we can't read it, that's not useful. Like, you've just lost it. And that's very unfortunate. I have a lot of podfics that have beautiful colors, covers, because they tried so hard, but then they packed so much things into it that we cannot read the title, we cannot read the author, we can't read anything.
I can imagine a lot of my podfic covers fit that description.
One of the things you will learn by, well, I guess, tutorials with graphics is that too much is not enough. And that you can go a really, really long way with simple. And I think that a lot of people sometimes think that podfic covers or graphics are really hard because they overthink it. And if you keep it simple, it will look gorgeous and to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just hinted for a while about fonts. Something that's really cute and really quick and will work really well for podfic covers is a website that lets you draw with words. Thoulman.com Texter. And basically, you can type a text in the corner, like in a box on the right-hand corner. And then when you drag your mouse around, and it will draw with what you've written. So you can make a heart with it. You can make a happy face with it. You can make a little squiggle. And it will do the squiggle with what you've written. And you can also choose the font. So if you wanted to have like your title and make a heart with it, that is a pain in the ass to do via editing software. You can do it, but it is a pain, let's be real. But this lets you do it with your mouse pad. It's really fun. Thousands and hours of fun. I've used it for a lot of things. Copy-pasted a whole fic summary in it and just drew around and just squiggled everywhere. And then you had the summary and also a drawing in one piece of information. That is also a very viable option. And of course, once you've done your doodle, don't be afraid to just screen cap it and add that on top of another picture if you want it to be fancy. Screen cap is a very valid and very easy way to get source material for your covers.
I've used screen caps before in my stuff. Like, I've done a couple of like Twitter screen caps because I did Panic at the Disco one where Brendan accidentally outed his relationship. Like, that type of thing. I just took a screen cap of Twitter and like edited it in to make it look like a tweet.
I've seen several people do that, make like edit a type of a phone conversation or chat log or types like that and just add the info in. That is super good. That is very useful. It represents something and it's still very textual, so you can have all your taste you want and still mean something very easily. I'm pretty sure that Text with Cephalopod use that, like they have a chat as the cover. And it's very simple and very efficient. Keep it simple. It works.
I remember I was actually at VividCon and they were talking about it using Photoshop for vids, and someone explained how textures work, and I was like, oh, that's how. And I haven't quite mastered it, but I use it a lot.
Tell people what texture are.
So texture is just like it's generally a picture, but it's got like a pattern or some sort of ripple going through it that you can use to add a bit of a depth or whatever, or sometimes you can use it to hide imperfections underneath it. But the thing that they said in that tutorial that I was like, oh, that was a piece I had missing, is I had been putting the textures at the bottom and trying to melt them up, but they said there that it's more effective to put the texture on top and make it like lower levels of opacity and kind of mix it down instead. So that was a big revelation to me. Okay, I can actually do something with this now. But yeah, it can just add like texture.
Textures are extremely good to add mood because usually they can add grunge or they can add well they don't add information. That's the thing. They add feel usually. You can have it on its own because it's a very repetitive motions. And I would actually suggest that if you want to try, textures work really good on overlay or like different layer styles. If you have an editing software that lets you have different layers, all of them have layer styles that you can play with. It's a drop-down menu next to the layer or on top of the layer. And just for reals, like pick a texture and we will give you links to texture places you can go so you can see. And also I can just like, if you want to try to add chapter things, I will give you picture you can use and like make chapters within this podcast if you want to try that. And we can show you what the texture is. Like all different types of textures. But like play around with the layer style. Try opacity is a very good one. Like that's like the sliding motion. It can be 100% for full opacity or like 50%. But also overlay, darken, burn will have a very specific angsty feel. Overlay tend to be very bright, like it will brighten up a picture, can be very interesting.
Color
Cane.
burn's a really interesting one, but generally when I'm doing it, I will literally go through every single one available
Yes.
a couple times to see which one I like best. Like, I'll narrow it down, like, okay, darken doesn't work, you can't see anything. Here's some of the lighter ones, or like, and I will narrow it down by literally going through every one.
You totally pick the first one on the list and then use those like down button like your
The
arrows
arrow, yeah.
and just go down 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 down. It will just like ch it would change its lay like layer style and try all of them and have fun. Like in no time you will have a feel for which one you like best and what works and what does it do. You might want to go for textures that are simple at first. Like you can use several textures on one on top of the other with different styles, but that tends to really quickly make you lose focus of the original picture if there was one. You can only use texture one on top of the other, that's perfectly fine, but if you pick too much, it will be very, very grungy, like dark stains usually. So if you go for simpler texture, that will highlight things. I will say wood grain, fabrics. Like jeans texture, leather, things like scales tend to have a very specific and distracting effect. But basically, it's like clothes. Like you have textures in your clothing, and some of them are very distracting, and some of them are very, very invisible because like the eye skips over them. But all of them have a texture and just a different one. So play around with those two. I would say if you want something very fun and spacey. If you just want to add colors, texture is also a good way to add a lot of splash of colors because you can take a very colored picture and put it on top of everything you have, and then play around with it like with the layer styles until it just moves colors around.
And
I don't know how to explain this.
one of the things that I've done that's like sort of on this train of thought, often, like I said, I'll generally start with like my base pictures, like 400 pixels by 400 pixels, and I make stuff fit in. A lot of textures are like three times that size. And so sometimes I can do a lot with it by either moving it around if it's a texture that has like, if it's not completely uniform. So sometimes moving it around, you got like, oh, a lighter patch here, a darker patch there, can make a big difference, or even just changing the size so it's closer to what it should be. But sometimes that can be a really interesting way if you're dealing with something that's less uniform to get like, okay, this part's darker and this part's lighter. Let's fit it right here. So then, like, this part of the screen is darker to convey this emotion, and this one's lighter to convey this emotion. So, like, that's one of the things that I've done a lot is just like playing with the size and the depth within the picture of the texture to create a story. And
You can
that's
also invert.
especially true if it's a colorful one.
You can invert that layer too, so that like the blacks become whites and the whites become blacks, and then all the colors are inverted too, into their like color scheme opposites, which you don't have to learn, just invert it and play around with that too. You've just made me realize I didn't mention this, but something that a lot of graphic makers do, and that does help a lot, especially if you're going to do special effects or if you're going to cut out part of a picture and try to mush them together, is to work at a much bigger scale than what your final product is going to be. And that is why textures are so big. They're made for people who are going to use them in artistic projects. And when you do photo manipulations in particular, you will want to work around at least twice the size of what your end product will be at. So if you know that your end product is going to be 400 by 400, try to go 800, or I would say like 1200 by 1200.
A lot of the ones
And
that I
then,
get are like 1200.
that's the original size of the picture. And then just like, and zoom out when you work. So like zoom out often to make sure it still looks good when in your final size that you want. Then continue to zoom out just to look and see if it looks good in Icon. And then zoom back in. And if you work into that scale, that will allow you for a lot of precision that when you zoom or to go and like make a lot of things in details that you do not have to squint your eyes at. And that when you zoom out, it will look like if you've passed a lot of time in doing that while you didn't. It will save you a lot of trouble. So I just forgot to mention that. Oh, one other thing you will want to do, I would say like save your files. When you create them, save them, and then Control S or Shift Apple S, whatever Mac users use, save often. Saving is your friend. You want to save your file. You do not want to lose all of this beautiful work you've just done.
And it's useful because then sometimes you post a Podfit cover and someone's like, I didn't think that's how you spelt your name. And you realize you just misspelt your name. And now you don't have to recreate that picture from scratch or always be called Perk or what. Like, that literally happened to me once. I misspelt my own name.
I've done it too. I've done it too.
And actually,
Yes.
this is a little off topic, but Rena Jenkins does most of her Podfit covers in PowerPoint. So there's like
Yes.
one of my Podfit that I posted about a year ago. I was like, I'm gonna try this. And I made the cover art in PowerPoint and I was like, okay, works. But instead of exporting it properly, because I had never used it before, I just took a screen cap. If you're gonna
Yep.
do that, make sure to turn spell check off because most
Oh
usernames are not dictionary words. And so I
no.
posted it and I'm like, there's squiggles that are saying that panica is not a word. So then I actually recreated the cover art and uploaded it all again. And this was like a 7.5 hour Podfig. It was large files. So
Oh.
learn from Lindsay's mistake. Don't do that.
Yep, that's a very good point, actually. I think several people will use software that might underline errors, and all of our names are going to be in an error. I just thought about something too. If you're going to work in a bigger size Canva than what your end product will be like, You might have to save the big Canva in JPEG and then resize it, or you might want to flatten your work. Usually in most editing software, if you have something like layers, you will have a file or editor on the top, and somewhere in there is going to be a flatten or merge all layers option. So save before doing that, then do that option, and then resize your work and save that again as another file, so that you have a saved file for the tiny thing and a saved file for the huge unflattened work. And that is to avoid that if you work in big and resize, sometimes your font will stay in really big and not follow along with the resizing. Just so you know. So if this happens to you, then you have to flatten your work first and then resize. But don't forget to save before and do not save after, so that like you do not lose all the layers you have.
One of the things that I've used Flatten for the most, and I don't know how kosher this is to people that are better at art than me, but I sometimes like to have better defined edges on my cover art, so I'll flatten the
Oh, you
image,
sharpen it?
and then I'll create like a duplicate layer and then use like the bevel effect or something like that that you can use between layers to give like that better edge around it.
Okay. It's totally legit. Whatever you do is legit because you've done it.
It works for me. If you're
It
not
works.
as
Whatever works, really, guys, just go out there.
And do we want to talk a little about the different softwares that people can use? We mentioned that Rena does PowerPoint and she lives by that.
You can use Photoshop or GIMP. I see both in the same line because they are both very similar, and it's just that they work very different. Photoshop you have to hack, and GIMP you can download for free. Legitly. Legit. And GIMP is a bit different in that it opens a lot of windows, and I think different, but it still works very well. For Photoshop, there are free versions for very basic photo editing that you usually can have for free or for trials of how many months and things like that. And they work perfectly fine. They have layers, they have tools. What they do not have are like very more advanced tools or GIF making options, but you do not need those.
To
So
be
if you have.
honest, like as someone who went into PowerPoint not knowing how to use it, it was very intimidating at first, and I couldn't even figure out some of the basic stuff. So maybe having some of the more advanced stuff gone can be a feature, not a bug.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have like a CD with Photoshop Illustrator version 3.5, use that. If it runs on your computer, just like it's fine. It's really good. I know you can use Paint. I've actually seen a really good one with Paint. Then you will maybe want to simplicity is your friend, because GIMP, it doesn't have advanced option. It doesn't have as many fonts and everything, so it's gonna be a bit more of a pain, but still works. Still works. Pixlr.com.
That's
I've
the
seen
one that
those.
I've started using recently because I had like a bootlegged Photoshop installed on a computer, but I don't really use that computer anymore. It's a desktop. And I started doing all of my podficking on my laptop instead. And I was just like, actually, during that time after the PowerPoint era that I had, I was at my parents' house trying to fix this. And I was just like, give me an online ed photo editor. And Pixar.com is what I've used a couple times since then because it's got like a lot of the basic stuff like Photoshop does, and it's all online for free, so you can do it on the fly. I also know that there's a decent number of like apps that you can download to a phone or tablet, and I've known some podfickers who've made cover arts entirely on their phone. So there's a lot of options out today, unlike, some of the years gone by when it was like Photoshop or Paint and not much in between. And there's a good chance that if you've ever bought like some of the more advanced cameras or camcorders out there, it probably came with something that you could use too. Like whatever you have that works, use it. But
Yeah, that's fine. And I think like a lot of them have similar options, but you just have to find them. or make the most of the ones you do have. If it's very basic, then you probably want to make the most out of options about contrast, like how to sharpen the picture or make it more contrasty or less contrasty, black and white, play with the colors and hues and all of these. So these are very basic that most software have. But what you will have, like what you will want to do, most of you people, like most people who do cover art, they want a picture and they want text on top of it and they want to be able to read the text. And beside that, then you can play with the font. You can play with the where you put the text will also really influence how the cover looks. You do not have to put it at the top and you do not have to put it at the bottom. It can be on the side. It doesn't have to be in a straight line. You can play around with the words as long as they, like most people in the Western or who reads English will look from the left top corner to the bottom. I will follow that. So if the words follow that orders, it will be fine. By the way, just so you know. Because I see a lot of people try to cram the words on top, even though it will hide the face of the people they're using as a cover image. Like, and it doesn't look to be wanted. It just looks to be accidental, dental. Like the word had to be there. I'm like, no, it doesn't have to be there. Move it. It's fine. If you have an empty space in there, you can put the word there. But if it doesn't fit, if it's too small, do not be afraid to hide part of your image, of your picture. That's fine too. If especially if it's a really known picture, because if you're doing a Stars Derek portfolio and you're using that fucking picture where Derek pins Star to the wall. You know the one. Everyone is using, and that is fine. You can use that one.
I knew
Don't be
what
afraid to
picture
hide it.
you I knew what picture you were saying as soon as you said that fucking picture.
Okay? That fucking picture. It is wonderful. It is very useful. It's very telling. Don't be afraid to hide it. We know what it's on there. If I only see like the glimpse of their chin, I will still know what fucking picture that is.
Yeah, and
So, like,
that's one of the things that's very strong about fandom is we become so intimately aware of the source material that sometimes a hint of it can be enough. Like that's certainly something I dealt with a lot in fan vids where it's like this vid's not going to be enjoyable if you don't know the source material, but if you do, here's what I'm trying to say. And
it's
you can
magic.
do the same with cover art.
Definitely.
And like it can also be something that grows more like once you listen to the story, you're like, okay, that's what it means, that's what they were going for, that you don't necessarily need to have it before they listen.
One last thing maybe about font is if you think your font isn't visible enough, most editing software will have some type of drop shadow or underline or outline option that allows you to add a tiny little glow. Like it can be a light glow or a dark glow, like a shadow or a light around the text that will make it instantaneously. Oh my God, words. That will make it very visible and super quickly, like a snapshot. And then you can usually also alternate like what type of range that shadow has. You want it to be pretty close, I would say, not too far, because otherwise you lose the effect you're going for. But it's super useful. Don't be afraid to use that. It will not hide the picture as much as you might think it will at first glance. At first you're like, oh no, it's weird, and then you zoom out and you're like, oh wait, it's fine. Actually, it's fine. That's really useful. If you do not have that into your editing software, you can just do the text and do the other text. Like make the text, let's say, in black, in 16 point font, and then make the exact same text in white in 15.9 font, and just put one on top of the other, like the white on top of the black, and then the black will work as an outline for the word.
That is totally what I used to do when
And
I
it
did
works.
made the occasional icon in paint back in the day. Like
Yeah.
I would just do it like, or I'd have it like offset a little. It might be the same size, but a darker color and a lighter color just to give a slight shadow. Or yeah, I would maybe change the size, but
It
like it
worked.
was not the most sophisticated thing, but it worked. It got that
And
across.
it works a lot better in covers than in icons too. But it works because it takes it bigger. But yeah, so that is always an option. You can do that in Paint. MS Paint will let you do that.
Yeah.
So viable option. And I think I'm done about font. I know I love fonts. If you want to know more about fonts, we can talk about this too. I want to go about getting like the picture for the background picture. We talked about textures and
Yeah.
where to get some. We talked about fonts. So now about the picture, like the fandom or the main picture, if there is one. Because a lot of people have one, which I totally understand. You do not have if you like if the other aspects are very well thought or just efficient. You do not need a picture, but if you have one, there's different types of things. You can have a fandom-related picture, as Baraka said, like with the characters involved, with the setting involved. Like if it's a fix-it about a particular scene, having a screen cap or an image of that scene will be super helpful information if you can have it. If your podfic is about a comic, like having a panel from that comic will be super useful. If it's about a Twitter conversation, having a Twitter conversation in the background will be useful. So that's where also screen caps are good. So if it's about a movie or anything that can be played on your computer, just blow it up, take a picture, and then you can resize it down and play with that picture. You will probably want to play around with the I would say contrast and colors a little, just to heighten it up, because usually what's a screen cap will look less shiny. So you can shine it up. Yeah, any means. Yeah, there's several websites that have like their screen cap websites. Very useful too, especially if you're doing a TV show or something like that. I fell out on TV show screen cap sites, but I'm pretty sure you can just Google them, or again look at what any graphic makers you know are using. They usually have a resource file somewhere, like on their profile or at the top of their post if they have a blog. Somewhere they will have a resource package where they will list where they take their screen cap from. So there you can go to a specific episode, find a specific close, a specific look, a specific angle, especially if you want to make photo manipulations. You will want to go through these websites and find a really clear, very sharp picture with a perfect angle so you do not have to manipulate the angle too much on top of all the other manipulation you're doing.
Yeah. I'll be honest, like the lazy way about doing this is I just Google. I'll do a Google image search and that's where I find all of my pictures, the textures
That's
that I
fine.
use, the whatever. And Google image search has some useful like advanced search options where you can say like only give me something that's this size or larger so that
Yeah.
you 'cause like nothing's worse than going through the thumbnails and being like, oh, that picture's perfect. That picture is not getting larger. It's only 200 by 300 pixels. Damn it.
Yeah, it will let you choose that, and it will
Yeah.
also let you choose colors.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. Like, if you know that I'm looking for like a picture of them like in the shadows, you can say this color range. I want blues and blacks and stuff like that. And that can be very, or like if you want a screen cap of like a specific picture that you've seen, you can say like, okay, they were wearing a red shirt. Look for something with red in it.
And even if you Google, I don't know, Grimm season 3, episode 3, 4, you will probably have screen caps in there in the Google search review. I would say that in the graphics community, it is good form that if you take a screen cap from a specific screen cap website or person doing a recap and everything to cite it as a source. I
Yeah.
know that the Potfic community do not really use site like sources for their pictures in them.
Yeah, I know I'm bad for that.
That's fine. We just discussions about this. I would personally recommend it, but especially because of the next part, I would say don't be afraid to use fan art. Ask for it. Ask for permissions, but most artists give permissions for people to make icons and graphics out of their fan art. So, especially if there's credit given. So, look for fan arts and use those. Those are wonderful ways. And artists are very friendly about this. They will say yes. It's an extra step, I know, because you have to have permission from the writer and from the artist. But some artists have blanket permissions. I do. I do. I know a bunch of artists who do. It's in their profile the same way that it's for fic writers. Sometimes all you only have to ask, hey, may I in general use your art for potfics? And if you can, then it's you don't have to, but I think it's just, you know, a tiniest bit more fan work of fan work of fan work. It's
Yeah.
kind of cute. Also can be very nice, you know, it's a good way for kinks. I've seen a lot of people use fan art for kinks because you have a lot of kinky fan art going around, and then it will actually be exactly what you're looking for. It's your character in that kink, in that position. So useful. Also, usually when you have a fan art, then you don't really need to do anything else with it. You can just slap words on it, and that's fine. If you want to rework it too, usually that's fine. But again, take it up with the artist of that piece of fan work, because you are remixing their fan work. Yeah. Or just ask around if you know. I don't know a lot of people who draw or create new graphics for Potfic done on their own, especially without like, I mean, from scratch, you know. But there are some. Ask around. Ask on Tumblr. Ask on Twitter. Ask your friend. When you participate in challenge, ask for to have an artist with you. If you can have your Potfic as the main, you know, the first fan work created with, how do you call them? They call them not GIF, but companions, with a companion fan work. Like, just ask, can I do a Potfic and can I have like a Potfic cover as a companion art? And that's a really good way to have something super original and super tailor-made.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
No, I'm we're good. But yeah,
It's okay.
that's I mean, I would definitely be down for something like if I knew that. Like, one of the sad things that I find about Marvel Big Bang, which allows Podfic, and I'm super glad that they do. I'm participating for the second year this year, but they have like two different tracks where they've got like traditional Big Bang, and then they've got solo acts, and Podfics are only eligible as solo acts, which mean you don't get the art aspect to it, and it's like it would be so like I'm like last year. I did like a 7.5 hour podfic. It would have been really cool. Like that's a lot of work that it could have
It
been like, oh, okay, let's add us another layer of adding more fan workers into this. But it also would have been like, and I don't need to worry about cover art after that.
Yeah, no, it would be. And you know, like in those type of exchange, well, I mean, challenges, the companion person is often also a cheerleader. Let's be real, like that's part of the thing. It's not a prize, but it's, you know, it's someone who you're doing this together and everything. So it can be a very good motivator. I know that I've done it for some, but like things. I remember back in the Merlin days, there was a Big Bang where I did cover art for the big, like for the fic, and then Itachi did it for Castle. The Rules by Which We Live, written by Cherry Nisbah, I think, not sure. And then, sorry. And then Itachi did a potfic, and for potfic Big Bang, I think. And then I was her artist for that, and I made a new piece for her
Oh.
potfic. But it was super interesting experience as an artist to have like these two different performances. Like one of them was written and pretty raw, and the other was oral. But like, and how that influenced how I did the art for. Like what the focus was, what the mood was, what character was. And I did end up doing different characters for each because in this, like when I was reading the worlds, I felt like more Arthur's point of view, and when I was listening to it, I felt like more Merlin's point of view because of how the voices were made and everything. And so I think that would be,
That would
it's a
to
very legit companion.
And you know, that just makes me think, like, that's totally an exchange I'd be willing to do. Like, I will podfic this, and if you want to make cover art for it, you get the sneak peek. You get it as I'm editing it, so you can be inspired. Well, and I can be inspired, and we can work off each other in a nice positive, like, cycle here.
That has been my personal favorite part of it, and having the sneak peek in the hall. And some art, like some podfickers don't want to give me the raw files because they're like, no, it's messy. I'm like, I want your messy. Because as an artist, in all of these changes, it's always pretty much expected that people will get my draft. Like they will get my sketch. So if you're going to have my sketch, I want yours. And like, let's be real, like I haven't had anyone yet who has not been happy to see the sketch and the work in progress. So why would podfakers be like, embarrassed about their work in progress? I want to see it.
Well, I mean, probably there's less time in your sketch of you going, ugh, why can't I speak? Which I don't know about other people. That's pretty
Really?
prominent in my rough
That's
copies.
95% of what I say when I draw. Like I can
Yes, but it's
draw
not
what is a
actually
hand,
written
what is a
across your
pencil.
drawing. Mm-hmm.
It's the same fucking thing. But I think we can really have fun together. Like
You
it's
know,
that's more.
and that's one of the things that I remember I had one pod together experience that was really great, where like the author sent me her rough draft and then I read it cold and recorded it, so she could hear me laughing at certain points, or she could hear me stumbling over it, so she would rewrite it so it was easier for me to say. And you know, having that, sometimes sharing your rough stuff can be really cool that way. And like I know I could definitely see, like, sometimes when I go into a scene, I interpret it one way, but I could maybe see your art making me be like, okay, wait, I want to focus, like, reread this line to put better emphasis or whatever.
But yeah, I'm just like, oh, I have so much to say about this, but let's go back on cover art. And less on like cooperation can go so far. I think we had Keeper of Seeds asking, like a question we haven't really completely answered yet. Is having cover art make people more likely to download? Info maybe on finding art to use, like fan art or stock, etc. So we've talked about finding art to use and stock photos. Is having cover art something that make people more likely to download? We've talked a little about this, but
Yeah, I mean, I think it
I
really
do.
de yeah, I think it really depends on the person. But I
And the
think,
perfect.
yeah, but I don't think it ever hurts it.
No.
I've only ever had it made me more interested in what it's there, even though I'm not someone who super uses it. I do know like a few people that like their library is very regimented, so they want cover art for everything, but I mean, those people are generally also willing to make cover art for things that don't have it. But I do think it makes it that little bit easier for people to download. But
To be interested. The only time I can see it hurting is that I've refrained from downloading a few podfics because of the cover art. On the very, very rare occasions where I downloaded podfic at work and the cover art was not safe for work.
Yeah.
So you get my drift.
Yeah.
And then something I would say, even if you're doing something kinky, maybe offer a safe for work option for your cover art. so that if
Yeah.
it comes up on shuffle, I have the options of downloading the one with the safe forward cover art so that my niece will not see it come up on shuffle.
Yeah.
You know?
I've definitely had like some kinky fix where it's like, okay, here's someone tied up or whatever that I could see maybe not being so safe for work.
Oh, tied up is fine for me, actually. I'm talking something super trash.
Yeah, I
Like,
mean,
I love trash, but I do not want it to come up in the bus while I'm not noticing.
yeah, that's definitely, and that's something that I've seen people like, especially when I was running the Podfic Twitter account, there was a lot of people being like, I don't want people to accident like be looking through my iPod and come across like one, they didn't want necessarily Podfic to come up when they were playing shuffle, which there's other ways to make that happen, but having the cover art there that's like kind of in your face can be a little alarming.
Yeah, so but that's the only thing I could see where it hurts and it doesn't really. Like I could just like download it and remove the cover art was as soon as I'm home. If I didn't want that to happen. So otherwise I think it will help
Yeah.
usually. But the thing is that you just have to think about the ratio, like how much will it help versus how much do you want to do it? Like, if you do not want to do it and it makes you cry, the idea of doing it, don't do it. Like,
I
if
mean,
you want one and ask for it, but if you don't want to do it, it's fine.
yeah, I think if you want it to be available, but it's not something you enjoy doing, that Podfic cover or that cover art welcome tag is probably perfect for you.
Or ask on Twitter. I've just went on my, I have a Twitter account called Audio, where is it? Audiophic Art. And I haven't gone on it for a long time now. But back in then, last year, I asked around and several people came out and said, like, I volunteer to give my cover art abilities for anyone who wants them. Like, just to be on a sort of call type. And whenever people ask for cover art, I will retweet them. And usually someone else would find them and say, hey, I can do it.
Yeah.
So like there's people who are very, they're looking forward to make art for you. So you
And I
do not
mean,
have to do it.
even like even me who spent most of this podcast talking about how bad my skills are, I would happily make cover art for
Yes.
someone else if they asked me to, or if I've got up the gumption to volunteer to. Like, it's not, I don't dislike making cover art, I just don't feel it's where my strengths lie. But
Yes. Don't put yourself down about art ever, please. Stop
sorry.
it, guys. I
It's
see it
really,
enough, everyone. It's
and I
hard. I know
don't
it's hard because
actually,
you think that everything you make is crap, and it is not. It's the
it's not
cake
even that I
principle.
really feel that way about it. It's just that because it's not super the thing that I'm most interested in making, it's the easiest for me to dismiss. And even though I do put a lot of effort into my cover art, like some of them are certainly more well thought out than others. There's some that I'm super, super proud of. But it's just not the thing that I necessarily care the most about getting recognition for that makes it easier for me to downplay my cover art. And other people might feel that way too.
Yeah,
And
they do.
it doesn't take away from the fact that we make these cool things, but it's
You do.
just how you view yourself, I guess.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm just thinking that if people, even if you don't, or if you're not entirely satisfied with what you're making, if you view yourself as an artist, it will make it easier for you maybe to seek out help as an artist, like to seek tutorials about it and to better yourself at things. Because, and I mean, practice will make perfect. It's fine if your cover art are not up to what you want them to be at first. You will get better with time. You will find tricks, you will find help, you will maybe a fandom will work better for you because of the type of the media it is and because of the type of fan source that's available. That's fine, it will shift. Keep at it, I would say. And if someone else offers you a cover and you like it better, you can switch it anytime and just add tags. Don't be afraid also to tag your work with Putfic cover available or Putfic cover art
See,
included.
oh, that's, I wouldn't have thought to cut to tag that way, but that's a good point.
Some people don't like to over tag. I think you can never over tag too much. If you want to write a novel in there, just write a novel in there. And because I know that I heard some people who say that if you want, they want inspiration, they just look through those tags at what other people have made. Like, oh, what does cover art look like? Or stuff like that. And you just click around and you're like, oh, hey, I have ideas. And that way you can also just inspire each other.
So there was one part of Ink Junket's question that I don't think we answered, where she said, what metadata do we include? Oh,
Does
she
that
probably meant on the cover. I was thinking like metadata, but I guess like how do you, I know a lot of people credit the cover artist in the metadata. Do you have any preference where that goes for you?
Yes, actually, I would not necessarily credit them on the cover because I don't think that's useful. Like, that's cool, but I don't know. Just the same way, I don't necessarily see the point of crediting the writer, actually, because that's not useful information when I shuffle through my things. But in the metadata, there's an artist, album artist, tags, and depending how you use those tags, because of how you view yourself, how you view the writer, and how you put them, usually there's going to be cover art or something like that you can use info on and add. I would say try to use it if you can. And also, if you can mention them in the body of the text somewhere, because since I've started archiving for the Audiofig archive, I never know who made the cover. If it's not mentioned, usually it's because it's the person who made the Putfic, but if it's not mentioned, I don't know. And I would love to know. I brought it up at my training. I will bring it up later when I have a more concrete idea, but I would love for it to be able, like, for the artist to also be a clickable link on the Audiofig archive. I know that's not the point of the archive, so that's not the priority or anything, but I selfishly really, really love to do that. And I would love to see, but for that to happen, you have to credit and tell me who made the cover art. But that's part of the reason that I think people don't see themselves as artists, so they don't feel the need to even mention that there's cover art. It just happens and it's there. I'm not going to say who made it or how or when or how or if I like it, it's just there. I'm like, no, I want to have your thoughts on this. Like, if you have a talker, a speaker talk back at the end of your Putfic, especially when you have a really long project, don't be afraid to talk about what a pain in the ass the cover art was. I love listening to this.
What is, when you mentioned the Audiofic archive, one of the things that I would love to see at some point in the future is when you are searching for Podfic, wherever that ends up being, you could see the cover art as you're searching, like on the search page results. Like AO3 is very obviously fic based, so it doesn't have anything like that, but maybe one day when it does start better incorporating other works categories or whatever that is they call it, if you could have that thumbnail, it would be so beautiful.
It would be.
And I think
That would
that
be nice.
would really change how a lot of us think about cover art too, if we knew that it was that prominent
If there was
before they
thumbnail was
even download
available,
it.
sorry.
I was just saying, if we knew it was that prominent before they even downloaded it, that would help change how we think about it.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty sure if a thumbnail was available, more people would probably use it or use it very differently. Like, as exactly like we mentioned before, as an added data point. Which it can be or it cannot be also, depending what you want to do with it. Do you have a preference for metadata as, metadata about cover art?
I don't. I used to put it as the album artist, but now I use like when I'm sorting iTunes, album artist is often actually meant for the singer. And so it's a very prominent tag that shows up when I'm like on my iPod. So I actually tend to put the pod figure there instead.
I tend to do that too.
I know that sometimes when you get to the more advanced metadata, there is place for the cover art. And when I had whenever I attached the cover art, especially before when I was using MediaMonkey to do it, there is like a text box where you can add a comment, and I would always credit it there. But that's not as immediately visible like when you're looking in your library. So I don't have like a good place for it, but most of mine is by me, so I don't super care when it comes to my own podfix where I credit it. Actually, generally, I don't. I just.
But now you should, because think about poor little me who does, who did your cover art at every single entry she tried to archive. Because I want to know, I'm nosy. I want to know who did all the cover art.
It would be like one day in a beautiful future, we might have better standardized metadata across the board for Podfic. But, and I think definitely if we ever do get to that magical place, we have to make sure to consider cover art and credit for it to make sure that it's prominent enough.
You know what we haven't talked about yet? That not all types of media can have cover art. Isn't there like file types that cannot have cover art?
Not so much these days. Like you can put a cover art on an MP3. So it sometimes it takes extra steps, but like I don't.
We should find like tutorials for this, because I think it's a very basic step that maybe people just don't know, like how to put cover up and like a file.
I've done tutorials for it. I can
Yes.
link to them again.
We should have mentioned this first.
But yeah, like I used to use MediaMonkey specifically to add it. You can also use iTunes.
I
Although,
use iTunes.
oddly enough, since I've gotten a Mac, iTunes hasn't worked very well for adding cover art. So I got a third-party product, which I'm gonna look up right now. I use Wondershare. And it's just a little thing where you can go and import it and you can edit the cover art right in it. But yeah, it's definitely possible to get it on most. I mean, I guess if you're doing a video, but it'll often show a thumbnail. So long as you don't have like a fade to black and it chooses the wrong moment to take the thumbnail, you're probably good to have it show there. I haven't tried for WAV files, I mean, the main ones that people use are MP3, M4B, M4As, and all of them allow it. Because it's pretty standard these days that the music formats that we buy, you expect to have the thumbnail of the cover art on it.
I just wanted to mention, I was like, wait, we forgot one very important step. Maybe we should put this at the beginning of the talk.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of people, like everyone knows that you can do it for M4Bs, but there are a lot of people that didn't know or never figured out how to do it for MP3s.
I think we covered a lot of the ground. Hopefully, nothing too bad. We didn't say anything too terrible.
I don't think so.
I have cover art Rex, and you have Patrick Rex. Do you
I do.
want to start?
No, you go first. It fits better with the topic.
Well, my first. Well, I. The, okay, so basically, I'm going to rec three people who do excellent cover art that I really love. The first one is Fire Juggler. Recently, they've been on a binge, and I don't know how many latest podfics have fantastic cover art with beautiful font play. When you do art with font, it's called typography. So it's typography art, and like that's how she uses the shape of the world to make something new. And if you click on her tag, you will see it. I have the link for inspirationlifejournal.com tag slash reader fire juggler. It will also be linked in the podcast list. So just look how brilliant she's been at using different font to convey different information and how telling these covers are about the Podfic within. So that's beautiful. Bessie Boo's art cover are gorgeous, just beautiful and shiny, super simple. Most of them are, at least they look simple. They're not simple, let me tell you, but they really look simple, but effective. And she's really great at choosing innocuous looking pictures and making them mean something for the Podfic. So like she will have a picture of a shoe and you will absolutely know what pic it relates to. Like police tape. I know they've sometimes have just handcuffs on there, but you know, like if you know the story, you will know what the Podfic refers to, what the art refers to. That's really very smart. And last would be Ethel's cover art, aethel.tumblr.com, tagged Podfic cover art with dashes, or just Google it. She has, they have, sorry, I'm not sure. They have gorgeous art too, a really brilliant use of texture, which we mentioned earlier. So if you want to look how that can be done, or composition too, she plays around where. Sorry, I said she. They play around where the text is. And that can be very effective in making the pictures or the textures look framed. You will see when you look at it. Like, keep this in mind and look at this beautiful cover art that I've just hacked. And you will probably be able to tell what I mean. And I hope that any of these inspire you to try, like, playing around with these aspects. And you will find how much better instantaneously like your artwork is. It just adds so much without actually being much more work, strangely enough, or brilliantly enough.
You know, I talking of Bessie Boo made me think of one topic that we didn't really cover in the podfic or in the podcast, and I'll do a quick mention of it now. But I know that Bessie will use original pictures in her pod, like in her covers. She will take a picture of something and use that. And
That way
I,
you avoid copyright and anything of that sort.
yeah, and it can mean you have like very specific of what you want. So we're not going to get into that in detail, but that's also something to consider.
Yeah, and it's very easy to do, especially now that I think a lot of us fans have fandom paraphernalia, right? At home, we have shield things, we had stickers, we have fan work at home, Judy, that we picked up somewhere. Just take a picture of those in any significant way you think of, and it will make a brilliant cover art.
So I'm gonna do more traditional recs of my pod of some podfics, and they're actually both by Bad Finch, and they are two Daredevil podfics of Daredevil interacting with the Avengers that I was listening to this month. So, I kind of I enjoy that. Like, there's a lot of Daredevil Avengers crossover stuff in general. And these are just all kind of fun stories of like, you know, the Avengers are like new superhero glomp. We must work together. And Matt being like, I work alone. Oh my goodness. And trying to keep his secret identity. So that there's the first one is None So Blind, and it was written by Pretty Birdie 979. And it is one where as he starts hanging out with Clint and some of the other Avengers, they notice that he's having some trouble reading and jump to the wrong conclusion that Daredevil is illiterate.
Oh,
And
God.
so it's all about these interactions where, like, Matt's like, well, I guess this is the perfect cover story. No one's gonna look for a lawyer if they think he can't, I can't read. But it's kind of like a comedy of errors and how it's driving Matt nuts that they think he can't read. And the able there's like some ableism stuff in there, and it's just funny like how they react. And the other one is double blind, and the premise of the story is Matt is fighting with the Avengers when he gets hit with something in the face, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's hurt your eyes, and you're now blind." And Matt's like, "Yes, just now." And they're like freaking out that he's like still trying to be a superhero when he's just gone blind, but he has not just gone blind. So they are both two fun stories of Matt interacting with the Avengers, and Bad Finch did a very good job reading it, and I enjoyed her like deeper Steve voice. It tickled me a little.
Oh, yes.
It's just
It's
like
funny
the
because,
Captain America voice.
yeah, I've listened to these two these perfect like yesterday and the day before exactly, so that I was laughing throughout this, and I think that Banfield did a really good job at the very crack angle of these stories, but also at the angst angle of these stories,
Yeah,
and
especially
that's
in None
not
So
balanced.
Blind.
Yeah, None So Blind has both because like. On the one side, the premise is really crack and fun, but also like it reeks of ableism, and this is addressed in issues and how to
Yeah.
deal with this, and like the Pottfaker just was able to switch between moods really well,
Yeah.
so that made a pleasure to listen to.
I especially liked in Double Blind, there's that scene where like
Foggy.
the Avengers call Foggy in,
Yes.
and Matt's like, he's like telling him like, "I'm blind," and he's sounding all choked up because he's choking on laughter, and which Foggy recognizes, but everyone else just kind of hears is like him being overly emotional. Well, not overly emotional, but being emotional about losing
Teary-eyed.
his sight. So like that kind of like as they're discussing it and how she read it was very fun.
Foggy is always such a marvel in Podfix. Like, I think his voice is something that resonates with people a lot, and they
Yeah.
do such a good job at it. Like, every time he appears in a Podfix, I crack up,
Yeah, I
basically.
love him.
He's my
I
new
have you
Stiles. I just love it.
not a rec for the podcast, but have you listened to the one by Night Tracer where Foggy's a radio station DJ?
I have not. Is there one?
Yeah, it's
I
like one of
need this.
I'll find a link and send it to you. I'm pretty sure I've recked it on the show before, which is why I'm not just gonna
I've
glomp it on in
scrolled at
here.
Daredevil perfect tags so often. How can I miss it? Is it in
It was
progress?
like it no, it's like one of the oldest podfics in Daredevil
Oh.
fandom.
Because I've tried all of them, I thought. This is like, there's new candy.
it was done for Pod Together, so it's got words with it. So if you filter out ones
Oh,
with a
maybe.
word count, you
Sometimes
would have missed
filter
it.
out words because they annoy me.
Yeah,
Because, I
that's
look at the podfic and podfic tag. So sometimes I cut off words so that I don't have all the podficked words that I don't want. I just want the podfics. So
Yeah.
maybe it got filtered out by accident.
Yeah. Here, I'm about to send you the link via Skype. But
Yes.
for the longest time, it was the longest Daredevil podfic, and I quite enjoy. Like, I mean, as a podficker, when you have something that talks about voice like that, it's
Yeah.
just such candy to me. Actually, I've been going back and forth on whether or not to just go ahead and post this. There's like a podfic that I read that I recorded where Matt and Foggy are in school and they don't have a braille copy of the textbook, so Matt's not going to be able to take the class. And
Yeah,
Foggy's
so
like,
he reads it
no.
to him.
Yeah, so I have a podfic of that, but the
That's good.
author has like,
Okay, yeah, just let's do this because I have to go to I have to take my pills and go to bed
yeah, I
too.
should too. All
You have
right.
to take your pills too.
I was supposed to take them at 7.
Oh,
They'll be a
yeah,
little
but
late. This is not the latest that I've taken them, though.
okay.
All right. So, thank you all for listening. That is our episode for this month. Thank you, Yue Neuf, for being on with us.
Thank
And,
you for having me.
and bye for now. Bye.
Bye.
I love how, even though it's a microphone, I still wave at it when I say goodbye.
I just waved too.
Yeah.
I was like,